Again, this afternoon, it's my pleasure to join in welcoming you and encourage you to get your Bible and to open its pages and search the Scriptures with us. As a basis for our study, I'm reading from the book of Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8, where Micah said, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." I want to talk to you for just a few moments about walking with God. There are two men in the Bible who are specifically said to have walked with God. Can you think for a moment who that is? The first individual who is said to have walked with God was a man by the name of Enoch. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God." And in verse 24 again, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." The second man who is said to have walked with God was a man by the name of Noah. In Genesis 6 and in verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." I can't think of any greater way that a man can walk than to walk with God. Can you? Just what's involved in walking with God. From the lives of these two men, we learn how we can walk with God. First of all, to walk with God is to have faith in God. Both of these men, Enoch and Noah, were men who had faith in God. In fact, they're both recorded in the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found." Also concerning Noah, it is recorded in verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." And so if you and I are interested in walking with God today, we're going to have to develop faith in God. Faith in God comes from hearing the Word of God. In Romans 10 and 17, Paul said, "So then faith cometh." How's faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11, 6 emphasizes the necessity of faith. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, saying, "We walk by faith, not by sight." And so as you begin to think about walking with God and what that means, it means that you need to have faith in God just like these men. A second thing that's involved in walking with God is pleasing God. Concerning Enoch in Hebrews 11 and verse 5, it is said that he pleased who? God. If you're interested in walking with God, then you'll become interested in pleasing Him. There are some individuals that we can't please. First, we can't please ourselves. So I said, "I think I'll just please myself. I'll do what pleases me." You can't do that and walk with God. You've got to do what pleases Him. In Romans chapter 15 and in verse 1, in regard to Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not what? To please ourselves." And then in verse 3 he continues, "For even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." And so we can't please ourselves. But in addition to that, we can't please men. There are some who are interested in being men pleasers. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And then writing Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he charged him to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." When you preach, you've got to learn to please God and not cater to the whims or the wishes of men. But also, when you think about walking with God and how that it involves pleasing God, there are a number of places that put a lot of emphasis on being a God pleaser. Like when Paul wrote the church at Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, notice he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord. How do I do that? Unto all pleasing. And then when he wrote the church at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, he said, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And then listen to these words from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You ever pray to God and wonder, did God hear my prayer? Is God going to answer my prayer? He does that conditionally. And one of the conditions of acceptable prayer is pleasing God. I can't expect God to hear my prayer or answer my prayer if I'm not pleasing Him. And unfortunately, too many are more interested in pleasing themselves or pleasing man than they are in pleasing God. But walking with God involves me having faith in God and pleasing God. But then third, I learned from Noah that there's another thing involved in walking with God, and that is heeding the warnings of God. Notice Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, listen, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moveth fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You read of God giving warning to Noah back in Genesis chapter 6. He saw that the wickedness of man was great, and he decided to send a flood to destroy all flesh from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God revealed unto Noah what he was about to do. He warned Noah of floods to come when those things had not been seen. He said, not seen as of yet. God has always given warnings to man. He gave warning to Adam and Eve. He said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, what's going to happen? Thou shalt surely die. God gave warning to Lot. He warned about judgment that was coming upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to be overthrown. They're going to be consumed with fire and brimstone. And he told him to get out of there. And as you come to the New Testament, God's given us warnings. He's warned us about judgment to come. He's warned us of a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. And so the Bible has lots of warning words. And you and I need to pay attention to God's warnings. We need to heed the warnings. Can you imagine being out on a road and there being warning signs and just not paying attention to those signs and what might happen? How that you could be involved in a major catastrophe by not heeding the warning. You think about this time of year as there's storm warnings and there's alert as to tornadoes as they come, and sometimes there are those who lose their life because they don't heed the warnings. They don't take shelter. And so worse than that even is losing your life eternally, to experience eternal death because you didn't heed the warnings of God. And so I've got to learn to heed God's warnings if I'm going to walk with Him. But then involved in walking with God is another thing from Noah in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. It is said that Noah had fear. He moved with fear. If I'm going to walk with God, I must fear God. Notice, Noah moved with fear. Fear of God is that respect or reverence for God that causes us to do His will. And if the Bible emphasizes anything at all, it emphasizes the need for men to fear God. Like in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, when Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said as He sent out His disciples to preach, He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That is, fear God. In Acts 10:35, Peter preached to Cornelius and his household and said that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and keepeth his commandments is accepted with him. Hebrews 12:28 talks about whereby we may serve God acceptably. How do we do that? How do we serve God acceptably today? With reverence and godly fear. And so I need to have fear of God. I need to have respect for God in my life because of who He is, because of what He's done, and because of what He will do. Do you fear God? Like Noah, who when he was warned of God, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Had he not prepared that ark, then he would not have truly feared God as he did. But then another thing that's involved in walking with God, I want to be like Noah, don't you? I want to be like Enoch. And of all the things that it could be said about you or about me, wouldn't it be great if it could be said at the end of life's way, he walked with God or she walked with God? If we do what these individuals did, then it can be said of us that we walk with God. Noah not only was a man who had faith in God and who heeded the warnings of God and was a God-fearing man, but notice he was a man that made preparation. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And so included in walking with God is making proper preparation. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Notice that preparation and salvation go together. Would he have been saved if he had not prepared? Can you and I expect to be saved if we don't make proper preparation? In the book of Matthew chapter 25, we read a story that underscores the importance of being prepared. It's the parable our Lord spoke about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish ones didn't take enough oil with them in their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Notice that the foolish were foolish because they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. The wise were prepared. And so when the bridegroom came, they were ready to go out and meet him. But the door was shut. And those that were foolish were on the wrong side of the door. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verse 12, I know you not. Can you imagine hearing the Lord say, I know you not? That's what the unprepared are going to hear the Lord say. I know you not. And so, involved in walking with God is being prepared to meet God. Remember the exhortation of Amos to the Lord's people back in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, prepare, O Israel, to meet thy God. We sing a song about that, don't we? Prepare to meet thy God. One of these days we're going to meet God. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our every deed and our every word. Jesus gives us a glimpse of that in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31 down through the end of the chapter. And I need to make preparation for meeting God in judgment. I do that by hearing His word, by believing it, by repenting of my sins, confessing my faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ's remission of my sins, and being faithful unto death. And when I sin as a child of His, to repent of that and to ask for His forgiveness in prayer, to again walk in the light as He is in the light. Are you prepared? But then finally, as you think about walking with God and what's involved in that, from these men I learned that walking with God involves obeying God. Notice concerning Noah, it is recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. Upon God's giving instruction to him, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's one of the expressions of obedience found within this book. And had you been Noah, if I'd been Noah, could it have been said of us, thus did he, or thus did she, according to all that God commanded. Again, in Genesis 7 and verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. It's no wonder then that it could be said concerning Noah that he walked with God because he obeyed God. And you and I must obey God. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, emphasized the importance of obedience. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Remember Acts 5 when the apostles were threatened, commanded not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You might underscore that in your Bible. We ought to obey God. In Hebrews 5 and 9, the author said that Christ is the author of eternal salvation. Unto whom? Unto all them that obey Him. How many are going to be saved? All them that obey Him. What about those who don't obey? Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, they're going to be punished. Punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When Paul wrote the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 6, at verse 17, he said, but thanks be to God. Why was he thanking God? That you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. When an individual obeys God, he becomes free from sin. And so when you think about walking with God, as Micah emphasized, there are two men in the Bible who are said to have done that. And when we look at their lives and the things that are said about them, we learn what it means to walk with God. Walking with God involves having faith in God, pleasing God, heeding the warnings of God, fearing God, being prepared, and then obeying God. Can it be said of you, can it be said of me, that we're walking with God? I can't think of a better way to walk. Can you? And you and I need to strive as much as lieth in us to walk with God. It may be that you've not started that walk. You're not walking with God. You've not been an individual that has the kind of faith in God that you need to have. You've not feared God. You've not been pleasing God in your life. You've not been obeying God. You can change all of that. You can start walking with Him today. Would you believe on Him? Would you repent as He's commanded in His Word? Would you be willing to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized into Christ's remission of your sins? To rise to walk in newness of life? Maybe you've done that, but you've not been faithful. You've drifted away and there's sin in your life and you need to repent of that. We'd be glad to assist you today in making your life right with God, that you might walk with God. If you'll come to the front while together we stand and sing, we would invite you.